You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon, and we're honored to be here with you. We're on from 12 noon to 1 o'clock every Saturday, and Donna and I co-pastor a wonderful church here in Stuart that God gave us the name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of where, Pastor Donna?
Revelation chapter 19, verse 10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
So we're glad to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, we do offer CDs or tapes. And all we ask for is a love offering if you want something like that. And you could make a check out to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And the mailing address is Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and our zip is 34995. Let us know whether you want a tape or a CD and the date, and we'll make sure we get it out to you. So avail yourselves of that. We're glad to be here with you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so we got here we are, a brand new month.
Brand new month.
March 1st.
And if anyone would like a calendar,
mm-hmm.
they just need to call us, and we'll give the phone number in just a few minutes, and we'd be glad to send the calendar out to you. Free of charge, so the calendar, so this way you can know how to pray for us, because a lot of you pray for us, and want to send one to a special intercessor that prays for us, and she knows who she is.
Amen.
And of course, there's several of them, and we'll be glad to send them wherever, whoever would like to have one. We even got a message from Judy and Daryl last week, and
they
meant to say hello to you, and
up in the Carolinas.
You, but yeah, they're up there in the cold weather. And, of course, there's people every other places and everywhere else, and say hello to Roscoe and Audio over on the islands. And who knows, you know, my brother in Australia may even be listening because
in.
You can get this radio program on the Internet. Just go to WCNO.com and just hit live on Saturday at 12 noon. Like he said, Eastern Standard Time, get the right time zone. But you can also go back and listen to them again because they're podcast on there. And so I think for the last 2 years, you can go back and listen to teachings that we have done during the year, and that's WCNO.com.
Your brother has to get up in the middle of the night to listen to it, doesn't he, over there?
Yes, it's a different time zone, you know, changes,
yeah.
But thank God for the Internet, you know,
amen.
It doesn't matter really, and it's a blessing. So I want to mention also, say hello to Roscoe and Audrey and all you out there that are listening now.
And Rochelle,
many by the way of the Internet. And, of course, many more by the radio program, right? The radio station right here in Palm City,
mm-hmm.
WCNO, and covers this whole area. And northeast, south, and west, praise God. So, you know, we know you've been listening for a while. And so give us a call. Come visit us. And if you'd like that calendar, you can give us a call. We're going to have a special meeting on this month, the month of
March.
Amen. We have two ADARs this month, ADAR 1 and ADAR 2, so mostly ADAR 2, and maybe you can explain why we have 2 months of ADAR after I'm finished, and because some people might wonder why we have 2 months, the Hebrew have 2 months of ADAR every once in a while. It's not every year, it's just every once in a while. So anyways, we want to say hello to you, and we're going to be having a special service on March 15th. We're having a Purim.
Because on a Saturday, this is the right?
Right, month of Purim, and we'll be talking about that Purim, and it's a special time, and it's all about the book of Esther, and a special lady named Esther and her uncle Mordecai, and how they were used of God because they were obedient to, and they brought victory to the Jewish people, and that many of them and their lives were saved. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So that's going to be the 15th of March, and it's going to be start 5 p.m. in the afternoon, and there'll be a meal, and then there'll be a program. Our dance team will be performing a program, and we'll be narrating the story of the book of Esther and teaching the prophetic signs. There's more prophetic signs, you know, everywhere. Amen. Throughout the Bible, there's prophetic signs and showing us the times and the seasons, which is what we've been talking about. Times and seasons. There are special moedines, is that how you say it? In the Hebrew, which doesn't mean this season like March, like summer, spring, fall. No, it means the prophetic.
God's appointed times.
God's appointed times, right, in Moedim. The Word of God, and they always cycle. They cycle for all the time, from year to year.
Holy convocations.
Holy things, that's right. And so we have normal services here in Stuart, Florida, and so you can come and visit us. Sunday morning, we have 10 o'clock service. And then we're there pretty much a good part of the day. And then we also have a meal together there. So you want to come and visit us and join us and have some fellowship time. That would be wonderful. That's Sunday at 10 a.m. We also have Friday night services at 7 p.m. We have Shabbat services. And we take communion and seek God's presence and worship Him.
Amen.
Amen. And on Saturday, today, or the radio program at 12, we have dance classes at 2, and then we have we normally have Bible school at 4, but today we're going to be showing a very special video
about the blood moons
coming up. I know a lot of you have heard about it, and you've probably heard a lot of some different teaching on it. Well, we're going to have a video about the blood moons, which will be the first one's going to be in at Passover this year,
April 15th.
So yeah. Very close, like that's a month, right, or so away, month and a half away. April 15th. So, and then we have one in the fall, and then there's 4 blood moons actually during the next 2 years, and they're all on feast days.
That's right. God's times, boy. Hallelujah.
What is God trying to say? So this, something's happening, and you'll find out a lot about that this afternoon if you'd like to come. That's at
4 o'clock
this afternoon.
Can avail yourselves of that.
So,
amen.
I want to give our phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. So if you'd like that calendar, just give us a call and we'd be glad to mail it to you.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to send an offering, you can send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995.
Amen.
34995.
We also mentioned our commentary. It's really not a commentary, it's a book on all the appointed times. And we offer that for a love offering of $25 and maybe $3 for shipping and handling. Be glad to get that out to you. And after we finish talking about what we started last week, you might want to get the whole book because it's got a lot of things in it. With the Judaism and understanding, everything revolves around God's appointed times. Not man's thoughts, but around God's appointed times. And so we're going to continue on with that. And we mentioned last week we were going to do that. And a couple of things I didn't mention, Pastor Don, we started teaching that.
And Purim's in that book
as
well.
That's right. Purim's in there. Hanukkah's in there. And so some wonderful.
Passover.
Everything's in here. All the appointed times. That's right. So I didn't mention last week, I don't think, but I might make it worthwhile. When I did the book, I didn't use absolutely nothing from any commentaries or anything. I just took the Word of God. I used one book, and it was by a man named Avi ben Mordecai, and he wrote a book several years ago about the signs in the heavens, and he did a great study of the years from the time that Adam was on the earth until Yeshua came to this earth, you know, born of a woman, as it says in Galatians 4:4, born of a woman under the Torah at the appointed time. And I did a lot of studying with that with him. He had all these charts, and I spent days and days looking through it, and it lined up. And he was surprised himself when he studied it out to find out when that 4,000th year came to a completion from the time that Adam was on the earth. It fell right there at the time that Yeshua came to this earth, born of a woman at that time, his birth. It's incredible. And so there's a lot of wonderful things in it. So that's the only thing that I use. Otherwise, all I used was the lunar calendar of the Bible, all God's appointed times, and what he has in this book, and nothing else. I didn't need anybody else's opinion because I got tired of hearing other people's opinion. And so we mentioned last week, we were talking about a lesson we have in there that was added to the book several years ago called The Last Two Prophetic Days. And the thought of the teaching was to determine when did the last two prophetic days start and when does it end. And we were looking at the scriptures last week with you, and we covered quite a bit of things to kind of set you up to understand that. And so we'll continue on with this. And what I want to review a little bit was we looked at Daniel chapter 9, and what I revealed last week with you was a brand new look at an old prophecy here in Daniel chapter 9 that we've been taught for years that meant this, and I just began to see some things. I had a new look at it several years ago. As I mentioned up front, I can't cast all this in concrete, but I think the evidence is in the book, the Bible, and it's an evidence that demands a verdict at the end of looking at all this. And so for just a quick review, we were thinking about Daniel's 70th week prophecy. We know that's 77s, which is 490 years, and we know that, we talked about this last week, that 483 years of this prophecy has been completed, but now we're waiting for the last 7 years to come, which would be a completion up to the 490-year point. And those last 7 years, of course, we know will be called Jacob's trouble. And so we talked about this quite a bit last week, but the two verses we looked at was Daniel 9, 25 and 26, and this is where I had to have a new look at an old prophecy. And we've been told certain things, I've heard a lot of different teachings on this, but these two verses I think are very key. And the thing I want to mention, first of all, was in verse 25, it says, it was told Daniel that the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Well, before you can restore anything, you have to return. So we took you and showed you over in Jeremiah chapter 29:10. It talks about when they were going to come back after 70 years and all that. And so this was the key thing with all this. And so I think I'm going to go over and look at that with you real quick. I'm going to go over to Jeremiah, I think it was 29:10, if I remember. I don't have my notes here, but if my Holy Ghost can help me here, he will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, it's 29. Jeremiah 29:10 says this, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to," here we go, "to return to this place." All right? So this is interesting, we think about this. And so this 490-year prophecy is very important. So we saw here in verse 25, we mentioned last week, it says, unto the Messiah. And to me, unto the Messiah is when the Messiah came, which means when at the end of 4,000 years from Adam, he came to this earth, born of Mary, as we mentioned a moment ago, to the earth. And then it talks about the 483 years and all that. Then we go into verse 26, and it says, and after these 483 years, it says that the Messiah will be cut off. Well, we mentioned last week, and I believe with all my heart, that he died in 30 A.D. He couldn't have died in 33 A.D. because he'd be too old, and there's no year zero, whether you're on the Julian calendar or the Gregorian calendar. And so I believe in my study over the years that he was born in 3 B.C. So this is what we were looking at. And so we had to have a new look at this prophecy, this old prophecy, in these two verses. And we came up with a thought here, looking at all this, that there was an interim time, an interlude of time, from the time that Christ came to this earth and up until the point that he died. There's 33 years there that God just kind of set aside prophetically for a purpose. And we have a lot of things in the Bible that has an interlude or a parenthetical time. The one we're looking at, the 490-year prophecy. Well, 483 years of that has been fulfilled, but here we went all these years, almost 2,000 years now. So there's an interlude there, okay, a parenthetical time that we know time goes on, but prophetically, the clock for Israel, the prophetic clock, was shut off when the Messiah was cut off. And so we had to look at this. And so what we had to determine, as we talked about this last week, was when did this start, this time, and when does it end? Well, we read over there in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, it shows us over there that for them to come back and to restore Jerusalem, they had to return first. And so if we look at this real close, if we go from the time that the Babylonian captivity ended and we go 483 years, it's interesting, we're going to come to the time that Yeshua was born on the earth. And this was really key with all this. And so we looked at all that last week, and I hope you got something out of that to see what God's trying to show all of us. And so these two verses had to have a new thought in my mind, and I had this put in the book. I studied this out, and there's a parenthetical time there that we don't have much talked about Yeshua at that time, and I believe it prophetically was set aside. Like I said, the only thing we have about Yeshua's life was after his birth until his death, burial, and resurrection was about the time when he was 12 years old. He was in the temple and he was talking and bringing some understanding to the lawyers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those about the things of God, and they were amazed when they saw that. And so the purpose, what we saw with this, a key thing with all this was that everything was going to have to point to the day that Yeshua would die, raised from the grave, and all that. That was the most important event. So the whole thing that we had that we talked about last week, not only for Israel but for the church as well, was that this 33 years, about this being this parenthetical time interval prophetically, was for one key reason. This is it: to allow the death of the Messiah to be the central event. I want you to remember that, to be the central event in God's prophetic plan for both Israel and for the church. And so we want to look at it with Israel, then we want to look at it with the church as well. So here we did all the study with you, and I think we saw a new look with all this. And it's interesting to understand what God's trying to show, because the prophetic word has always been here. It's never changed. Just people look at it different ways, and we've had different interpretations. And I've heard a lot of teachings on Daniel chapter 9 in these verses 24 through 27. You hear a lot of different things. But the key thing is these two verses, 25 and 26, showing this time that God put in place. And so it says here in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of a commandment," which really was a prophetic word, "to restore." Well, I mentioned you got to return before you can restore, and to build Jerusalem unto, all right, the Messiah. It says it's going to be what? 483 years. And so this is what we have of all this. And so it's incredible when we look at it real closely. And then it says, and then I like the word, verse 26, it says, after the 483 years, what happens? The Messiah was cut off, and we mentioned what? The moment he was cut off, the prophetic clock stopped for the nation of Israel, but time is continued on. We're waiting for that last week to come. And so this is where we kind of left off last week. And so we want to look at the rest of this thought about the last two prophetic days. Now, to understand this a little bit further now, we know what happened here. We have to go over now to Hosea, and I want to go over to Hosea chapter 5 with you. And we spent a little bit of time here last week. We only look at this a little bit closer. And so it's wonderful to know this. Hallelujah. Amen. So verse 25 in Daniel is showing us what was the end of the captivity and all that. And then they were going to go back into what? Restore Jerusalem. It said it was going to be in troublesome times and all that. And it was. And then we have, after the 483 years, the Messiah was cut off. And most teachings tell you that about the Messiah coming is when he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey on Nisan 10, and then he died 4 days later. I don't believe this is what this is revealing. To me, it says unto the Messiah. I mean, unto what? When he came, okay? When he came. All right? Not so much in his death. And then we jump out to verse 26, and then it says after. Well, 33 and a half years later, what? He died for all mankind. Not for himself, it says, but for all mankind. It's incredible. So now with that thought, let's go over to Hosea chapter 5, because we're talking about the last two prophetic days. We found out now basically when it started, and we want to find out when it's going to end. So we have to go look at some things here in Hosea chapter 5. Now we touched on this last week, but I need to touch on it again. We need to go to chapter 5, and if you read over there in chapter 5, you find out that Israel, now remember, all these verses is talking about Israel, not the church. I'll say that again. This is talking about Israel, not about the church, okay? The church will be revealed here later. All right, so in chapter 5, we find out there's a judgment being brought to Israel because of their pride, their idolatry, and all the things that they did. And the key verses, verse 6 was one of them. "They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them." So in other words, he left, okay? He just stepped away from the whole situation. Now, if we go over here to verse 14, we have this repeated again. It says, God says, "For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah, the northern and southern tribes. I will tear," here we go, "and go away, and I will take away, and none shall rescue him." Okay? Now, with that thought, then we go into verse 15. This is the key verse. Now, we know this was prophetic at this time because Israel was in idolatry, and God, he went away from them completely. We know that because they didn't acknowledge what their offensive sin that they were in at that time and all that. And it said they would seek my face and their affliction. Well, they went through a lot with the Babylonian Empire. You know, they were eating their children, everything else. It was terrible things. It says they will seek me early. Well, the 70 years passed, and they came out of the captivity. And Daniel 9 revealed some of that, as we talked about there in chapter 9. And so this was something that happened with Israel within those years. But now there's a double meaning. We have a lot of prophetic scriptures that have double references to the last days. And this is one of them in Hosea 5:15. Listen to this real close. God's speaking here through the prophet. I will go and return to my place. He did that in Israel's day. And remember, and that's when they went into captivity. No, he just left them in captivity for those 70 years. I will go and return to my place till, or it means until, they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. All right? Well, if you think about it, during the captivity, it wasn't early, really. It was, remember, 70 years they went through to get this to come to a conclusion. So this, I think, has a double meaning and a prophetic word to Yeshua in his day. Listen to what it says here, thinking about Yeshua now. It says, I will go and return to my place. Yeshua came to the earth. It tells you that in John chapter 16, verse 28. Maybe we need to go read that. I'm going to go to John 16. Pastor Donna read that last week. John 16, 28 says this, I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world again. Listen, again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So he's going to return to back to the place that he came from. So it says, I will go and return to my place. He came to this earth. We talked about that in Daniel 9, okay. He died, rose from the grave, did those things for 40 days and all. He went back to be with his Father. He returned to his place. Till, and the purpose was what? Until they acknowledged their offense, which was their sin. Well, what did they do? All the religious leaders, for the most part, except for a couple we see in the Bible, rejected Yeshua as the Messiah of God, you know, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer. They rejected him. So that was their offense. That was their sin. And seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. All right? So think about this now. After this verse, we think about this verse afterwards. We're thinking all the way out to Jesus today. They rejected Yeshua. And the Bible says over there, and in the New Testament, there's going to be a time called, and it's in the Old Testament as well, there's going to be a time called Jacob's trouble that will last for 7 years. And that's this word affliction is another word in the Hebrew for the word of what? A Jacob's trouble is what it's revealing. And they will seek me early. So this is a prophetic word, what was going to happen after Jesus died, returned to his Father, until they acknowledge it. Well, most of the Jewish people, if you look at the total population of the Jewish people around the world, there's only a small amount of people that have actually accepted Yeshua as their Messiah. They have not come to that place yet. Well, then we go to chapter 6, and verse 1 shows us the time of Jacob's trouble, what's going to happen. God's crying out here, come, and so is the prophet. Come and let us return to Yeshua unto the Lord. They need to come back to God. Like in chapter 5 here, they left God. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He will. The tearing will be in Jacob's trouble. He has smitten, and he will what? He will bind us up again. So this is all going to happen in Jacob's trouble. And so this is an incredible prophetic couple of verses here that we need to look at and understand what God's trying to show us, what he wants us to know and understand about the Messiah. And so my thought with all this when I began to study this several years ago was about the last two prophetic days. Well, we know the Bible tells us in Psalms 94, it talks about his one day is like 1,000 years and all that. And then Peter quotes this in his epistle, that one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. So in God's eyes, a day is what? A period of 1,000 years. You can go to Genesis chapter 1. We have 6 days of creation over there. Those were actually 24-hour days. But the pattern in the picture was each one of those days would represent in the future 1,000 years upon the earth. And of course, the seventh day was what? The day that God rested. And that's the prophetic word for the millennial kingdom that will come after 6,000 years of the rest. So we're getting real close to that time. So think about this. From the time that Adam was on the earth, we talked about that last week, and it's in the book, that 4,000 years passed, and Yeshua came to this earth born of a woman, okay? Well, now we got another 3,000 years to finish what? God's 7,000-year program that we talked about to restore mankind in the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden, okay? Well, we've gone almost 6,000 years now. We haven't finished that yet, but we're getting really close to that. And so as we go into Hosea chapter 6, and we read verse 1, which is referring to the time of Jacob's trouble. Then we go to verse 2, very key. Now, this is talking about Israel. Now, remember, we're talking about Israel here, not the church. It says after. Here's our word after again, like we had in Daniel over there 9:26. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now think about that. Here's 2 days. Now if you read Hosea and a lot of things here in this book, and even some of the other prophets, I don't see anything that happened within a 48-hour period, which would be 2 days. So these 2 days prophetically are referring to 2,000 years prophetically that God uses in his word. And so it says after 2 days or after 2,000 years, will he revive us? All right, now let's think about the two days. From the time that Yeshua went back to be with his father that we read in Hosea 5:15, it's going to be a period of what, 2 days? Well, he died in 30 AD. So if we go 2 days, which would be 2,000 years, we come out to 2030 on our Gregorian calendar, okay, and the Julian calendar was pretty close also. So that's the 2,000 years. So this is showing us, this is when God's going to end the things with the nation of Israel. It says what at that time? At the end of that 6,000 years, okay, he's going to revive us, the Jews, and then it says in the third day. Now, these other Bibles say on the third day. In the third day is very important. So the third day represents what? The third day will be what? The last 1,000-year period that we know on this earth called what? The millennial kingdom. That's the third day. We got 4,000 years to Yeshua, and then we have 2 days. We come to 6,000 years, and then the third day, which will be the seventh millennium from the time of Adam, what do we have? The millennial kingdom. What an incredible picture we have right here. So he says here, after these 2,000 years pass, that God's going to revive us, and in the third day, he will raise us up. There's going to be a resurrection, and we shall live in his sight. There won't be a catching away again, but there's going to be a resurrection out from among the dead again. All the Old Testament saints that walked righteous with God will be raised up at that time. All those Jew or Gentile during Jacob's trouble, those 2,520 days that died in Yeshua, will also have a resurrection at the end also. It's incredible, all right? And they'll be raised up, and it says, we shall live in his sight. So after the resurrection, think about it. At the end of Jacob's trouble, 10 days later, we come to the Day of Atonement. Now, this is very key to understand this. The Day of Atonement, and the Bible makes it clear, is a time appointed for the nation of Israel for their forgiveness of their sins, but also what? To think about the deliverer, the redeemer that came for their lives to save them and all that. And so, if we look at this real close, we see something very interesting with all this as we go out to the end of those 2,000 years, and that'll be with Israel. Now the question is, this is going to be with Israel, this is for the group of people, all right? Hallelujah, think about this now. There's going to be a group of people that will be alive at the end of Jacob's trouble in their physical bodies that have accepted Yeshua, and they will go into the kingdom. We know that. But there'll be a lot of Jewish people that's going to be lost. The Bible tells us that in Zechariah that 2/3 of the city will be ravished. They won't accept him. And so at the end, on the Day of Atonement, the last Day of Atonement of Jacob's trouble, I believe the Bible reveals that in several places, that Yeshua will come not in the sky. He's going to come and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives at that time. And what's going to happen? Then he's going to begin to establish his kingdom on this earth. So this is the plan for Israel, okay? All right? And mainly for those during Jacob's trouble that has never asked Yeshua to come into their lives. Well, what about all those people during the time since Yeshua was on the earth, Jewish people, that accepted Christ? Well, then they're in the body of Christ, aren't they, Pastor Donna? We have the one new man, Jew and Gentile, in the body of Christ. Well, that's now. So let's think about this. This takes us out to 2030. Well, God has to do something here. We know what's going to happen with the ecclesia, the church called, the called out group, the Jew and Gentile in Messiah. What do we have? We have to back up 7 years, and we come to the time of what? The beginning of Jacob's trouble. There'll be a resurrection, and there'll be also a catching away of all the true believers on the earth from the time that Yeshua was on the earth to that point in time. All right? So they're going to be raised up also. Now, let's think about this for a moment. We mentioned that in Daniel 9, when Jesus was cut off, that Israel's prophetic clock stopped completely. It was shut off. Well, our clock, the church's clock, has been running by long. Almost 2,000 years right now. We're getting real close to that time, okay? To the sixth day to come. And so, there has to be something done with us as well. So when the resurrection and the catching away comes, what's going to happen? We will be caught off the earth. Our prophetic clock will stop. Time will go on, but our prophetic clock will stop just like it was with Israel over there in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, okay, when he was cut off. And so we'll go to heaven, and our clock will be shut off for 7 years. It's incredible when we think about all this. And so when we put it together, we'll kind of see. It gives us a clue. We know when it began, and now when's it going to end? This is key. Now, I think about this with me for a moment. If the Bible talks about 2 days from the time that Yeshua went back to be with his father, that means we come to 2030, all right? He ends his program with Israel at that time, but prior to that, the church will be the church program, remember, will end before Israel's program. And so at the beginning of Jacob's trouble, not the end, this resurrection will come, all right? And I believe with all my heart that on one of 2 days, we're going to have a resurrection and a catching away and all that at the beginning of Jacob's trouble. And then on a Rosh Hashanah, trumpets. And then 10 days later, on the Day of Atonement, God will turn on his prophetic clock again for the nation of Israel to run for those last 7 years, which is 2,520 days to bring us out to the end. It's incredible. All right? So we'll be in heaven for 7 years. Our clock will be over with. Now, let's think about the timing on this. So when I thought about this, I used to believe certain things about these days, but looking at the prophetic things and also the appointed times, I had to change my thought. Just like a new understanding in Daniel chapter 9, 25 and 26. And so I had to look at this a different way. So think about this. I'm going to talk about, let's talk about the church because they're going to go out first. From the time that Yeshua died, we know there's going to be 2 days for Israel. But we have to back up those 7 years to bring us to 2023, okay? So if we go from the time that Yeshua died and rose, went back to be with his Father, we'll have a period of 1,993 years at that point in time, all right? So that's when Jacob's trouble will start. And what made me think all this was, remember, that Jacob's trouble can't be in the kingdom. It has to be before the kingdom. If it was in the kingdom would be short 7 years, because the Bible says six times in Revelation 19 and 20 that it's going to be for what? 6,000 years, or I mean 1,000 years, I should say. It'll be for 1,000. The kingdom will last for 1,000 years. So that tells me then that Jacob's trouble has to be prior to that time. So we go out 1,993 years and we come to this time with the church, okay? And the resurrection will come and those out from among the dead, and there'll be a catching away also of all the saints at that time. As I mentioned, the prophetic clock will start then for Israel on the Day of Atonement, but our prophetic clock will end because we're going to be in heaven. There's no time in heaven, so that takes care of that, amen? So it brings us out to that time. Now, let's think about it. Let's think about Israel now, all right? Glory, because see, the purpose of all this is that it's going to begin and end on the exact same time. That's what God's going to put the church and Israel on the exact same time at the very end. So we think about Israel now. We know that it says right here, from 2,000 years from the time that Yeshua went back to be with his Father, he's going to revive them and raise them up, and there's going to be something great that's going to happen there. Amen? So let's think about them. From the time that Yeshua died and went back to heaven, there's going to be another 1,993 years, okay, to the beginning of Jacob's trouble. And then Jacob's trouble will pass those 7 years, and it'll come out at the end, and the resurrection we mentioned at the end of Jacob's trouble for what? All the Old Testament saints that walked righteous with God, all those that died during Jacob's trouble, Jew and Gentile. There'll be a resurrection, I believe with all my heart again, on a Rosh Hashanah, the last one of Jacob's trouble. And then on the Day of Atonement, on the last Day of Atonement of those 7 years, is when Yeshua will come back and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives, and the kingdom will begin to be prepared to be set in place. And so what happens then, you know, there's going to be a lot of Jews will be in heaven, because they're going to be resurrected at the end. We'll have been there for 7 years. So we're all going to come back at the end on what? On that particular Day of Atonement when Christ comes back with the saints and all the angels and all. And so we'll at that point in time, we'll be on the exact time clock from that point on. It'll be exactly the same. Isn't it incredible, Don?
Awesome.
There will be no distinction whatsoever. Right now, we have two programs running, don't we? We have one for the church, the ecclesia, Jew and Gentile and Messiah. And we have one for Israel. All right? And we've talked about this prophecy. Jesus said one time, the first will be last and the last will be first. Well, what was he talking about? The Jews should have been first, but because they rejected the Messiah, as we read here in Hosea 5:15, they're going to come in last. And so they should have been first, but they're going to be last. So it makes us understand, know that the church age will end, all right, those that are in the Messiah, and then he's going to turn to his time with the Jews. And what's Jacob's trouble all about? It's not the church's trouble. It's not the church's trouble. It's Israel's time. So what's he doing? It says his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness, all that he has, he wants to reveal it to them and give them another 7 years to accept the Messiah. And while I was talking with you, I saw Hosea 6:6 down here. I love this. God says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." That's what he wanted with his people, but they wouldn't obey. They just wouldn't. They wouldn't do the things that he asked them to do. And so we see what happens here. And my eye caught me to chapter 7 of Hosea, verse 10. "And the pride of Israel to his face, that they do not return to the Lord their God nor seek him for all this. And so they were in a terrible place. And so the purpose of Jacob's trouble is to give them one last time of grace and mercy and loving kindness to come to their Redeemer, the Messiah that came so many years before to bring them redemption and salvation and to put them in the kingdom of God. So this is the whole picture, the whole pattern that God wants us to know about these last two prophetic days. And so I think this kind of gives us a clue. So, you know, we got people saying, well, Jesus could come back today and all. Well, I believe he's not going to come back until a proper time, of course, and it's going to be on one of God's appointed times, not just one. It can't be today because this is not one of his appointed times today. The Bible tells you all this. It reveals all this to us. And so there's going to be a day one day when he's going to come back, and I believe it'll be the beginning. It'll be what? It'll be on Rosh Hashanah, trumpets, one of 2 days. We won't know the day nor the hour. When there will be a call from heaven, the dead in Christ will raise, and those that are alive and are serving Christ will be caught off the earth at that time. And then the clock begins to start again with the nation of Israel. So we have all this. And so what's the key thing with this here, like in Hosea 5:15? The key thing is the starting point for all this is what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What was Daniel all about over there? About his coming to the earth. And then what? Being cut off, his death. That was a central thing. That's the central event that God wants us to understand with all this. And it's not only for the church, it's also for the nation of Israel. And so it's incredible when we put it all together. So we've got a kind of got a time clock right here to kind of show us when all these things are going to come to pass. Now I've got my book I wrote. I'm going to go back here and turn to one of these charts I have in the back just to show you something here. We have two charts that we put in here.
There's eight charts in that book.
And then we added two more to the last two prophetic days, and it kind of clarifies the picture here. And what I did was, I wish you could look at this, but I'll try to explain it to you the best I can. So I had this chart, and I went over to the left, and I had up here, Pastor Donna did a wonderful job making these charts for me. It says the end of the Babylonian captivity. So we went 483 years from the end of the Babylonian captivity, and we come out to 3 B.C., which is what? Yeshua's birth, okay? And then we go 33 and a half years, okay? And we come out to 30 A.D. This is what? His death, resurrection, and starts on what? Passover is Nisan 10 to the 17th, all right? Yeah, including his resurrection, all that. And so we have the birth of Yeshua, which we mentioned before on this program, and tabernacles. And so this, anyway, this, from the end of the Babylonian captivity, I'll say it again, we go 483 years, we come to Yeshua's birth in 3 B.C. Then we have this time of the interval, this intermediate time I talked about, you know, this just set aside these 33 and a half years, and it brings us out into 30 A.D. when he died. We'll have a black arrow on this in big, bold black letters. It shows us it's going up in the air. This is when Yeshua had his resurrection. So that was in 30 A.D. All right. Now, as I mentioned before, if we go from 30 A.D., we go 1,993 years, we come out to 23 of that year on our calendar, 2023, all right? So what's going to happen at that time? This will come out to Passover. It'll be Passover. Think about it. 1,993 years from Passover in 30 A.D. will bring you out to 2023, okay? All right, at Passover the same time. So what's going to happen? We mentioned that there's going to be the resurrection of the church, which is the Jew and the Gentile in Yeshua. Amen. And then what happens? Then the tribulation period starts for 7 years and runs out to the year 2030 A.D. And there's a picture on this. Now over here at 2030 A.D., on the Day of Atonement, I got an arrow, big black arrow coming down. This will be Yeshua's second advent when he literally comes back to put his foot again on the Mount of Olives. Now at the beginning of 2023, what? He won't be putting his foot on the Mount of Olives. Remember, he's going to come in the sky, and he's going to catch us away. So this is interesting. So if we go from 30 AD, like I mentioned, and we go 2,000 years exactly, we come out to 2030 AD. Amen? So what will that be? Think about it. 30 AD was at Passover. We go 2,000 years, we come to 2030 for Israel at Passover. And over here in Hosea, it says in the third day. 6 months into the third day, what's going to happen? That's when the Lord's going to come back on that last Day of Atonement. It's incredible. So what we have to remember with all this is that God paused his prophetic clock for the nation of Israel for 1,933 years, and it's still paused. We haven't come to that place yet, but we're waiting for that. Amen? And then we can think about this. God started his prophetic clock for Yeshua's church, the Ecclesia, Jew and Gentile in Yeshua, and it's going to run for what? 1,993 years to bring us out to the very end also. And our clock will finally stop when we go to heaven. And this is the key thing. It's going to bring it all together. So what we see with this, with the church and with the Israel, both of God's prophetic programs must start and end, here it is, at the same time, 2,000 years from Yeshua's death and resurrection. And it's right here. This chart shows the whole thing. Amen? So I made this note at the bottom. Hope you get the book. It's available for $25 plus about $3 for shipping. And you can look at this and see this, and you can examine it to see, okay? And so I had to have a new look at Daniel chapter 9 to fully understand this. Now I have two notes at the end of this chart, and I call this chart the syncretism of Israel and the church. What does it mean to be synchronized? It means they have to be together. You know, like when you have a movie, if they don't have the voice lined up with the film, what happens? You can see their lips or what? They're out of sync. So we have to synchronize this thing together. So I put these two notes at the bottom, and I said, number one, on the 1,993rd year from the time of Yeshua's death, it's about Yeshua's death, we will come to the Day of Atonement, Tishri 10. At this point in time, God will start his prophetic clock again for Israel to complete Daniel's, what, 70th week, 7 years plus 1,993 equals what? 2,000 years. Isn't that interesting? Now, here's the second thing. On the 1,993rd year from Yeshua's death, we will come to the Day of Trumpets, Tishri 1. At this point in time, God will pause. Now listen, he will pause his prophetic clock for Yeshua's church to allow Israel to complete her last 7 years. So our clock will be shut off, okay? Thus bringing Israel and the church to the 2,000-year point at the very same time. This is what it's all about. They have to be synchronized and brought to the same time. Amen? So, you know, if you get the charts and all that, it won't seem to be so complicated. But the key verses is Daniel 9:25, 26, and Hosea 5:15 through Hosea 6:3. These are the verses. And you know, I told you last week, there's not one verse in the Bible that shows you that the last 2,000 years started at Yeshua's birth. I tried to make that happen years ago because we'd be out here 33 years earlier. But that's not what the Bible says. Think about it. If that was true, you know, he died in 3 BC. If we go 2,000 years, where do we go? Where do we come to? 1997. Well, he didn't come back in 1997, so we got 98.
Or 2000.
That's right. We came out. We have 98, 99, 2000, and we're all the way out here to 2014, and he hasn't come back. So that cannot be right. It's wrong. It has to be wrong. Okay. So then I had to change my theology thinking about this, and when I finally realized what Hosea 5:15 was telling me, the big light came on. I'm going to read it again. I will go, and he did, and return. He went. He came to earth. And he was going to go back. If he's going to return, he must have been there before. He came to the earth. He's going to go and return, which he's already done. He's on the right hand of the Father to my place until they acknowledge their offense. Okay, what was the offense again? Rejecting the Messiah. That was their sin. And seek my face and their affliction, Jacob's trouble. They will seek me early. Some of them did. And then chapter 6, verse 1 is referring to what? Jacob's trouble. And then 2, he says, after those 2,000 years, he will revive us. And so it takes us all the way out to the end. So we know we found the beginning. And we know the end. And the key thing is not his birth, but what? His death, burial, and resurrection. That's a key point, not only for Israel, but also for the Church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing, Pastor Don?
Amazing. Yes, it is.
And so they started in at the same time. He's going to bring it all back together. It's incredible.
Amen. Praise God.
So we have some amazing things to talk about with all this. We know that. And it's really a deep thought. But I think the charts, remember, the people say a picture is worth what? 1,000 words or whatever?
Or more. Yes.
So the picture's worth a lot when you look at it and see how it lines up. But the key thing we have to remember is everything that God does with the church, okay, and also Israel, is all revolving around his appointed time. Not the Jewish appointed times, they're God's appointed times. They'll line up exactly with that, no other way. And if you get the book, the charts all back there show you all the events in the Jacob's trouble, how it comes out to the exact day. Doesn't miss by one day, does it, Pastor Don?
Doesn't miss by one day
when God has it, it's true. It's not approximate, it's there. And so we've had all kinds of people playing with numbers and all, and it doesn't work. Amen.
And you talk a lot about Jacob's trouble.
Amen.
Well, Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble. Jacob always had trouble.
Yeah.
And isn't that interesting that they call it Jacob's trouble? Because you can go all the way back. We talk about the spirit of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And this whole Bible is full of the spirit of prophecy, and you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you can read about Jacob's trouble, because Jacob had trouble right from the very beginning.
Yep.
And it's interesting, you talk about the 7 years, you know, the one he loved, he wanted, you know, Rachel, but he had to wait for for her.
I mean, another 7 years.
7 years.
Work 7 more years.
He had to work 7 more years. So Rachel's a picture of the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And, of course, we know that Jacob received the blessing from his father.
Mm-hmm.
And that couldn't be changed.
Yep.
Well, it was all originally, it was all in God's plan. Even the things that happened even before when he was born, you know, at the birth, at the birth thing, you know, there was twins in his mother's womb. So even there, there was always trouble, right? From the very beginning, right from the probably from birth on, there was maybe even in the womb. You don't know what happened in the womb, but there's always trouble, you know? And so he always had trouble. And so, but Rachel is a picture of what? The Jew,
the
right?
The nation Israel. That's right.
And so, and you said that God called, they were called first, but because of their unbelief.
Of not receiving the Messiah.
Of course, many of them did receive the Messiah. Most of the people
of them didn't.
But most of the people in the first century were Jewish people.
That's right.
And then, of course, persecution came.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like Jacob, he had a lot of persecution, didn't he, throughout his life?
Yeah.
And he struggled, and he had to work for everything that he got. And so here his second wife, which he didn't love at all. He didn't love at all. Leah, she's a picture of the church.
The church, because it says that she was hated by him. That's right. The Jews hate the church for the most part, don't they?
Right. And so, you know, what did she come first? She had children first.
That's right.
And he had to marry her first before he married
Rachel,
of his life.
Right.
You know. And so here, right, even right here, you talk about the 7 years. Right here's a picture of 7 years.
Absolutely.
How he had to wait that second 7 years for the chosen one, which I would say, you know, was the Jew.
It says what? To fulfill her years.
To fulfill her years.
For 7 years.
So right here is the prophetic
word
about even back then. You know, it's all, there's things all the way back in the very first book of the Bible, which gives us, which follows all the way through the Bible. You know, I think about what it says over here in Genesis 29, verse 11 says, and Jacob kissed Rachel
mm-hmm.
and lifted up his voice and wept. He loved her.
Yep.
God loves us. And God loves the Jews. God loves the Jewish people.
Thank you, Lord.
But because of, you know, like you said, they were looking for a king, they didn't understand.
That's right.
And they didn't see. Some people saw when Yeshua came. Some people knew. Anna knew.
That's right.
And
Simeon
knew. And Elizabeth
That's
knew.
Right.
And Mary knew.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph even knew.
That's right.
Because he was revealed to him
Nicodemus
by the angel.
Knew.
Right, Nicodemus
found Joseph
out.
Of Arimathea knew.
Right, but see here, and they were waiting. People always have been waiting for the Messiah, the return. People are still waiting for the return of the Messiah.
They were waiting for the restoration of Israel, and it wasn't going to happen at that time, yeah.
Right, but here we can see that he had to serve for 7 years. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, even before that. And then, of course, he was deceived, and he ended up marrying, getting Leah. Who he, it says in the Bible, it even says that Leah was hated.
That's right.
He was hated.
That's right.
But, you know, God saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren.
To the very end.
So here we have Rachel, a picture of the Jew, being barren. And we see the land. It was barren for many years and struggled violence and struggled wars.
Sure was.
And even now, you know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But look how the land has blossomed. Look how things have happened.
Flourished.
Look how prophecy is being fulfilled in Israel and in Jerusalem. And you can see what's happening. Fruitfulness, fruitfulness, fruitfulness. So we know that we're getting close. And we're not setting dates or times, but we need to be aware of the times and the seasons. And even these 4 blood moons we're going to be having in this year and next year, 4 blood moons on 4, every single one of them is going to be on the one of the feasts of the Lord. This first one is going to be on Passover, the first of Passover. So we need to know these things. And of course, this afternoon, we're going to be showing one of the videos on the 4 blood moons. And so the Bible says that there'll be signs in the sky and, you know, all different kinds of signs. So could this be a sign? I think it is. You know, I don't believe that it's a coincidence. That's coincidence that these 4 blood moons are all happening on feast days. See, so we need to look up. We need to be aware of the signs of the times and wake up and see,
because God is showing us things and we're not really seeing them because we're not paying attention to the signs that are happening in the earth, even the famines and even the places all around the world.
That's right.
Even things that are happening here in America, you know. We were called to evangelize we've evangelized so many people and so many nations and so many places in the world. But what's happening in our nation is sin has just taken over. It's
sure
rampant
has.
And ungodliness. And so we have actually turned away from many things in our government and in our nation, have turned away from the word, the true word of the Lord, which gives us instructions. This is our instruction book. Amen.
Amen.
So we can see the signs of the time. So if you're free, you want to come by this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I know you'll enjoy the video. It's about the four blood moons.
He's not predicting anything, but he's just saying there's signs, and it tells you right in the very beginning, Genesis, on the fourth day, about the signs in heaven, okay? And talks about it in Luke chapter 21, also about the signs in the heavens. And so, who knows? We don't know what's going to happen on April 15th.
We don't know.
Or on Tabernacles this year and next year. And there's going to be a solar eclipse in between these 2 years.
They're warning signs.
That's right.
They're
there's something
signs
that God's showing.
And you'll find out that things have happened on other... This has happened before, you know?
Sure.
And so you'll find out about that. And that things have happened in Israel, you know, you think about like the ninth of Av, we talk about that so much, and things have always happened, so many things happened on the ninth of
Av, right.
And so many things destructive. And so God has certain days that he has set in order where things are going to happen.
That's right. Those blood moons happened right after Israel became a nation in 49 and 50. They had the same thing 2 years in a row. Blood moons, what, at Passover and Tabernacles, and in 1967, when they took Jerusalem back, the same thing happened again. They had four blood moons over to in 68 and 69. It's incredible.
So there was always a hard time and a blessing.
That's
because
right.
There was war came for first, and then they took it back. But there was always suffering. There was always death. I'm not saying that's going to happen this time, but we need to keep our eyes on Israel because Israel is the time clock for the world. And so we need to wake up, and we need to not turn away from that. Like so many of the church, even some churches, they think that we have replaced
Israel.
And Jesus was born a Jew. He died a Jew. He's coming back to this earth a Jew, and he's going to be coming back to Israel,
not to Jerusalem,
not here in America,
as King of Kings,
as
a Jew,
Lord of Lords, amen. And everyone will go up to worship him.
That's right.
There, and there'll be certain feast days
that will
continue from
that's right.
from year to year.
That's
you know,
right.
And we'll need to continue those things because God has set up his plan, and so we try to deviate and we get off of his plan, and that's when we get into error and confusion. So we're not trying to set any dates, but we're looking at the prophetic timeline according to the feasts of the Lord.
So we look at.
And so this book that Pastor Gene has written has to do with the feasts of the Lord, and also with the book of Daniel
and the fulfillment
and,
of all those.
The fulfillment and the book of Revelation. Right. So we have to look at the whole counsel of God, the whole Bible. You know, we need to get into the whole Bible because
right.
if we go back here in the very first beginning. Very first chapter of Genesis gives us an outline of the history of the Bible, and so many people don't go there and look for the prophetic signs. See this testimony is so important. The testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy. This book is nothing but prophecy.
That's right.
And most of it's been fulfilled.
And he's established all this for us to see and look at.
He's established it for
That's
us.
Right. To teach us.
And
about the Messiah.
About the Messiah.
And when he's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And
so we shouldn't be in darkness, should we?
No.
And then what Paul told him over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he's, I have no need to teach you about the times and seasons, talking about the Jewish, or not, I should say the Father's appointed times and all that. They didn't need to know that. But he was telling them that the people that don't know those things are not aware of what's going to happen. They're going to be caught in darkness. He's going to come. It's like a thief in the night. But we're not in darkness, are we? So we can look at these things. We don't know what year for sure we're on, but the Bible makes it clear what God's appointed time shows us the seasons when all these things are going to happen.
See, it talks about in over here in Genesis that you know when he was tricked and given Leah first.
Yeah.
And you know he found out in the morning, right? Well, there's going to be a catching away, and the Jews are going to find out in the morning that something's happened.
That's right.
Uh-huh, yeah. And verse 26 says, and Laban said, it must not be so done
in our country to give the younger before the firstborn.
Yeah.
Well, who's the firstborn? The firstborn was the Jews, right?
Uh-huh.
But we are we're the latter ones who is called the Gentiles of all the nations to come to be the church, to be the one body of Christ, Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Gentile or Arab or Muslim or Buddhist or Indian or India or what, Spain,
that's right,
anywhere. So to give the younger before the firstborn. So we would be the younger. And so what do we have to, so then what he told her, he said to fulfill her week. Who? Fulfill the week of the younger one.
7 years.
Which is Leah, 7 years. Mm-hmm. Those are the 7 years that will be in heaven. Amen. Those that week will be fulfilled. And then he says, and I will give thee also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet another 7 years. So he had to do another 7 years. But let me finish this out. I skipped verses here. And Jacob said, so, and fulfill her week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So we had to, that 7 days, or that 1 week, which is, represents the 7 years in heaven, right, for the one who was not the firstborn.
That's right.
Which would be the Gentiles.
And that was rejected.
Spending that 7 years with God in heaven.
Yep.
And then he said, then I will give you the one you love.
Rachel.
I will give you Rachel, the one you love, which represents the Jew. So here, right here in these two verses, we've got the tribulation.
Real time, prophetic picture.
And it's called Jacob's trouble.
That's right.
And that was Jacob was troubled.
That's
you know,
right.
He was troubled to
That's
wake
right.
up in the morning and find out
wow.
that he had the wrong,
had the wrong
he
woman.
He didn't have the one he loved. He didn't
right.
have the one he loved.
That's right. Yeah.
But, you know, Jesus is bringing those to the Father who he loved. He loved Rachel.
That's right.
But he loves everyone. So we just, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton.
We got a
we're
little bit
running
of time,
out of time.
We're running out of time. One thing
but
you might mention
there, that.
Yeah, it's important. But the key thing is now, we're in Christ, so we're going to be first, aren't we? We're part of Leah.
We are. We are Leah. We're
yeah.
part of Leah.
Hallelujah.
And so that's just a blessing, and, you know, so praise the Lord. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, and we've just about run out of time.
Go by. Time Amen. Goes by so fast.
So if you'd like to come to visit us at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida, we have church on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and also we have Friday night services at 7, and we also have, today we have a school, this not a school, movie.
Well, it's part of the school, but we're showing a DVD.
At 4 o'clock, we normally have school, Bible school at 4 o'clock, but once a month we have this video, so we're having a video at 4 o'clock about these blood moons, so if you'd like a copy of this teaching or you would like to have more information, you want a calendar, we send you a free calendar, just give us a phone call, I'm going to give you our phone number in just a second. And we're just blessed to be here. Let's say hello to Roscoe and Audrey.
Hallelujah.
And all you out there on that listen to us. And thank you for praying for us. And keep lifting us up. And we pray for you. And we pray God blessings on you. And we pray that you can that you have got a comprehension of the teaching that Pastor Gene brought forth. Phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
So as we close this program every week, we're on here because we love people. We tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.